Thank you for supporting WBEZ. You keep public media public. December gifts are among the most important because they set the tone for our reporting in 2026. Next year, we're doubling down on bringing you stories that arm you with the facts. This journalism relies on everyone contributing what they can. Join them today at wbez.org/donate.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Earth Day is around the corner. There are plenty of ways to mark the occasion, from park cleanups to environmental film festivals. It's the time of year to deepen your knowledge of some of the most pressing environmental issues facing our planet. With ideas to keep the Earth Day celebration going beyond April, we spoke with Maria Stone from the Chicago Park District, Anna Garcia Doyle from the One Earth Film Festival, and Reset sustainability contributor Karen Weigert. Karen kicked it off with the history of Earth Day.
It's amazing. Earth Day is 2 weeks away, but it's been over 50 years in the making. Mm-hmm. So the first Earth Day was in 1970. And the day was one that Senator Gaylord Nelson out of Wisconsin, so nice Midwestern roots there, really galvanized it. Mm-hmm. And it was 20 million people in tens of thousands of events across the country. And part of what's amazing to think about is in that time, there was no EPA. There was no Clean
That's
Water
right.
Act. There was no Clean Air Act. There was no Endangered Species Act. So this was really a grassroots galvanizing that sparked a lot of institutional change and political change.
Yeah. How are you taking on the role of Earth Day, Anna? What does it mean to you? How does Earth Day engage folks?
Yeah, it means so much to us because I think people come out who don't usually think about this every day,
yeah.
You know? And so it's really an opportunity to amplify that this is not an issue for a siloed group of folks, right? If you breathe air and you drink water, this is your issue. And so we should really feel that Earth Day is every day. And so our job is engagement and bringing more people under the tent to realize that this is a human issue for all of us to confront.
That's interesting that you say that it attracts the people who don't normally do this every day or don't come out for this sort of thing. What does that mean to you as an organizer in this space?
I think we need kind of the best tools at our disposal to make people aware. And that doesn't mean cognitive tools or data. It means storytelling. And that's why we have an environmental film festival that our nonprofit puts on. Because that's what connects with people and that's what brings them out in kind of a heart space to say, oh my goodness, and what can I do?
Yeah. And Maria, this is the 40th year of doing cleanups for the Chicago Park District and the Friends of the Park organizing this together. Are you getting higher interest now from folks in volunteering because it's Earth Day?
Oh, good goodness. This year we have over 177 parks hosting cleanups all across the city of Chicago. Last year, we had more than 1,500 volunteers, so we're expecting a lot larger numbers.
Really?
In parks in all 77 community areas.
What do you think's changed? Why are folks so interested now?
It's giving people a purpose. It is building community, just seeing your parks, and there's a lot of park pride, and just talking about the earth more now.
Yeah. Well, one of the big reasons we're here, Karen, is I want to make sure that our listeners get an overview of the different activities happening. Again, not just on Earth Day. We've got stuff happening all through April, right?
It is a huge month. And I'd like to bridge. There are also environmental activities happening year-round. And so if this is the way someone dips their toe in and gets connected to a place or a person or a cause, you know, that's a wonderful way to kick off what could be an amazing week, month, or year ahead. And there are so many different ways to do it. I was just perusing myself to see what's out there. And obviously, we're talking here about parks and films, but there are events where you can go meet a beekeeper and learn about bees.
Oh, really?
There are events happening where you can do crafting and you can find a way to make a lantern. There are events happening where you can connect and learn about local histories of environmental areas. So anything that you're excited about links to the environment in some way. And chances are someone is doing something in the next month that can help you make that concrete and specific on a day and then perhaps build from there.
Yeah, absolutely. So Maria, take us inside these park cleanups. As you mentioned, so 40 years, 170 or so locations. I mean, this seems like a milestone. What do the actual events look like?
So when folks sign up for Earth Day, they can become a site captain. So that means they are the person who signed the park up and they help recruit volunteers. And you can pick a project. You can clean up litter, you can mulch trees, and you can also add fiber to playgrounds. So not only are you cleaning and greening the parks, but you're also making your playgrounds safer. Mm-hmm. In addition to these opportunities, we also work with the Humble Park community for a community celebration. We're kicking it off with galvanizing the troops there. There's hundreds of volunteers. They're going to clean, they're going to green, but they're also sharing their community networks. And we're kicking off our May in Motion, which is bringing health and wellness to our Earth Day cleanup. And then after the cleanups, we have a community celebration. 30 years, this community's come together and created the celebration where there's local food, music, dancing, and celebration for all the great hard work that they did that day.
Yeah. We just recently had a conversation on the program with three different neighborhood groups doing cleanups year-round. And they also talked about the popularity of you know, people are just signing up out of nowhere, right?
It's awesome. It is so awesome. And what I've noticed over the past couple of years I've been doing Earth Day, there's a lot of different connections, different companies and groups joining their local park advisory council or their local group and bringing corporations. The CTA has adopted 6 sites.
Right.
SC Johnson Company, 5 sites. There's even a dating group doing a cleanup at Smith Park.
Like, really?
It is so cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, the folks on the show are doing park cleanups, beach cleanups, you name it, right? And you're still looking for captains?
Still captains and volunteers.
Captains and volunteers. And Karen, I mean, as you hear Maria talk about this, I mean, is this just a cleanup activity or are we doing something deeper when we roll up our sleeves and get involved?
Well, we're definitely doing a cleanup activity and we're definitely doing something deeper. And, you know, I love hearing the conversations about generations or years of connection to a place. But there's actually good data on if someone takes one action, there's a spillover. They're more likely to take another after. And so there are ways to connect this from that concrete standpoint. And also, when you think about the opportunity to do something with others, you're building networks. So in particular, as I think about the parks, growing and tightening local communities around a place that's special to them. And then over time, who knows, the next time you're in the park, you might see someone you've met, or you might see something that shouldn't be there and help clean it up. But so yes, this is absolutely incredibly important the day of. The parks will look different, but they'll also feel different.
Yes.
And they'll be connected to in a different way. And that's long lasting.
I'm looking at you, Anna, because I want to hear about the goals of the festival this year.
Sure. I think the goals are always to get people out of their heads and out of data, which we love data and it tells science is good, right?
Yes.
But really into a place of like a deeper engagement. Karen was talking about, you know, going deeper, right? And that to us means storytelling. It also means community engagement and connection. And then it means action, right? So those are always our goals. I will say, just to piggyback some of what was said earlier, you know, Sasha and you were saying, so folks are coming to clean up parks with Maria and the folks from the park district, and that maybe is coming out of nowhere. But I do think in this moment, you know, so talking about goals for our festival this year, folks are feeling, I think, a little disempowered, you know, maybe mm-hmm. a little despairing of some of the things that are happening at our federal level,
yeah.
you know. And so I think one of our goals is to say to people and really demonstrate that there are real concrete ways that people can still get involved. And that local and regional actions will mean more than ever,
yeah.
you know. And so that's a huge goal for us, along with activating like really specific communities. Youth is huge. Multi-generational events are also part of our programs every time.
What's the youth turnout for you? Because I know you've got like a contest geared for youth, right? Things to attract them to the festival.
Yes. So what's so lovely is in the last few years, we have taken young filmmakers winning contest shorts and paired them with our longer features in our programs. And I'm just going to shout out to Karen too, if that's okay. Karen is on our jury as well.
Yes.
And so these are beautiful, powerful films from young people using their own voice about what's happening.
Yeah.
I mean, using their agency. And so we're pairing those with the feature film. So that's happening. We also have actively, we're accepting submissions for our 2025 contest. And so those are due May 25th this year.
Nice.
So there's just a lot. And then we have a whole kind of youth family thing around a film called Cafeteria Man, which is being shown in 4 totally different communities. And that's sort of middle school and above. And so really pitched to, you know, multi-generational.
Very cool. So being a judge, Karen, for the Young Filmmakers Contest, what's the impact there for you?
Well, I'm lucky enough to get to see a range of films. And as Anna said, there's a young filmmakers contest. It ranges from third grade up to 25-year-old. And over the years, I've judged all those different ages. And it's just amazing to hear the voice that comes through so clearly in an amazing film.
The submissions from the third graders must be amazing.
They're absolutely amazing. And it does come down to storytelling. And I've seen beautiful films at all the different ages, but it really comes to who can actually just distill the emotional connection and give you that hook so that you're on the edge of your seat wondering, mm-hmm. what's going to happen? How's this going to play out? Is it going to go well? Is it going to go poorly? And that can come through any age of voice, even from animation to claymation. And I'll give you an example. I was actually judging some films for next year because already the submissions are coming in over the weekend. And some of the films are, as Anna said, they're shorts, 1 or 2 minutes. You can tell an amazing story and capture someone. So imagine what can happen if they spend a day in a park cleaning up.
Short time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so cool. Now, films range from features to documentaries, both regional and national. One takes place on Chicago's southeast side. I want to play a little clip from that.
Sure.
All this area right here is adversely affected. They're going to be the front line for any kind of disease and anything.
Wait. Wind blows. You have to look further than that. Okay, not only just the residents, you have a baseball field to the west of them.
Oh, yeah.
So you have all these families
coming. Two baseball fields.
Right. So you have all these families coming in, seeing their kids play and getting their air poisoned.
Tell us more about The Hills.
Yes, The Hills. It's a powerful piece by a local filmmaker named Inez Summer, who will be in attendance at the screening. It will take place at IIT in Bronzeville, and it's part of what we're calling the Crosstown Collab, where we have one screening on the south. We have many screenings, but these two particular, one on the west side, one on the south side, very focused on environmental justice with a series of partners, and including West Side Environmental Justice Alliance and the Chicago Environmental Justice Network. And The Hills tells a story of what has been happening really, truly, in a lot of places for so long. And it focuses on the story on the southeast side around Hegewisch,
yeah.
You know, where the General Iron plant had come in and other industry, you know, have been threatening for generations, you know, yeah. the ability for folks to thrive with the basics, you know, clean air, clean water,
yeah.
clean land.
Yeah, the very basics, for sure. Maria, you know, when I think of your path to this year, you've been the lead for Earth Day on behalf of Chicago Park District for, 5 years or so now? Prior to this, you helped organize Earth Day at Friends of the Parks. What keeps you doing this line of work?
I love the storytelling, watching the engagement happen. It's a catalyst for people doing more. And it's not just one day. We're hoping that by you coming out to your park, cleaning up one time, you're going to become more interested in nature, the environment, and caring for these precious spaces in Chicago. So every year, more and more parks sign up, more and more people get engaged. And it's just a beautiful thing to see happen.
And you've seen both sides of the operation, yep. right? The city side and the community group side. View and Brew events, Anna? What are those?
Yeah, so fun. We love, almost everything is free with a suggested donation, right? But we love to just kind of pepper these View and Brew events. So one is at Epiphany Center for the Arts, one is at on Common Ground in Lakeview, one is at The Plant in Back of the Yard. So totally different communities, really trying to activate people around, you know, farm to table food and drink, right? And fellowship, but also really well-placed films and conversations and action taking, right?
Yeah.
Opportunities. So yeah, the View and Brews are don't miss for sure. We also have an Earth Day Action Fair at the Chicago Cultural Center, which we do every year, where there will be lots of groups in attendance, tabling. People can get involved, sign up for information, sign up for gigs, you know, really get involved in the ways that the Park District is offering.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, there's just a lot of, you know, we're trying to wrap it always. Our theme this year is power in unity, which I think speaks to what I said earlier about kind of this moment,
yeah.
right? And it's an affirmation mm-hmm. that there's power in unity. And so the schedule reflects that, I hope.
Yeah. I think so. It was quite intriguing. And Karen, I want to go back to something that we talked about earlier, and that's that idea of sparking interest in not just Earth Day, but just all year long. How can Earth Day do that? Can get folks to just kind of keep the movement going?
There are ways to do it, and the ways that Earth Day lives on just from the actual experience of the day. there's actually a good day that if you physically participate in something as opposed to trying to just passively learn about it, you're more likely to be engaged over time. So literally showing up on that day, in addition to the fun and meeting people and getting more familiar with your park, the data says you're more likely to continue. And then there are also lots of ways to engage to concretely make pledges or commitments on Earth Day. And there are a variety of organizations that are also looking for opportunities to do that, to sign up to be an ongoing, someone who's involved on an ongoing basis, or to engage on some of the broader topics that are happening nationally. So from that moment of connection through to those commitments, the opportunity for Earth Day to become Earth Year,
yes,
starts the first time you do something.
Before I let you folks go, Maria, what do you want people to know about the citywide Earth Day Park Cleanup Day on April 26th?
Everyone is welcome. Come to your park. Come and help us clean up. You can sign up at EarthDayChicago.com. But Earth Day is every day at Chicago Parks. It's in our strategic plan. It's how we manage our facilities. So parks are important, but first, the easiest thing you can do is come out on Earth Day, April 26th.
Any film you're excited for, Anna, at the festival?
Sasha, and it's like asking me to choose between my children,
isn't it?
I
knew you would say that.
I want to say that the launch party that we're going to have at Saraband on the North Branch of the Chicago River, where we celebrate our river, there will be an honor song from the American Indian Center with full regalia and a drum. Angela Tovar, our city's chief sustainability officer, will open with a bell our 14th season. So a lot of things not to miss about that.
Yeah.
And, you know, check out the schedule. We hope that people find that it's inclusive, celebratory, and that it's got some real concrete things.
It sounds like a lot of fun, too. Anna Garcia Doyle is founder and executive director of the One Earth Film Festival. Maria Stone is with the Chicago Park District, and Karen Weigert, our sustainability contributor. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Linnea Dominic. It was edited by Dan Tucker and mixed by Ari Mejia. Never miss an episode. You can subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen or find us at wbez.org/reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thanks for listening.
My name is Liz, and as a teacher, I think that WBEZ provides endless sources that I can bring back to my students where they can also engage in a deeper understanding. I teach government, I teach U.S. history, and I have used sources from WBEZ in order to help enrich the understanding of my students.